Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
If you would, as you come up, if you would welcome up Pastor Steve and Sandra. Pastor Sandra likes to say, you know, oh, I don't have anything to say except, and then she just drops a bomb on you.
I know, and that's when you flow with the Holy Spirit, I guess. But I just want to, it was like actually revelation. Tracy and I were chatting a bit this morning, and I realized, did you realize your pastors are grandparents now? They're grandparents in this church. Because how many generations, when we first connected with you guys, we were hearing from Dan, like, you got to go to this church. They're the most amazing church. And they talked about how the ones that came here were all, like, new believers. Like, so you were all new babies and you've grown. And so it's amazing because I follow Tracy on Facebook. Like, I for a while, there was lots of weddings. Now there's babies. So do you know what that makes them? Grandparents. So it's all about family. It's about relationship, isn't it? Now, I know they look too young. I mean, Carl, you know, he's got a little bit of gray, but, yeah, however you want to do it. But the pleasures of grandparents, and Stephen and I, we have a four-year-old and an 18-month-old, and it's just the greatest joy for us as grandparents to see, yeah, we did a good job with our sons, thank God. So pat yourself on the back. And Carl and Tracy, they've done an amazing job, and Stephen and I are here too because we, when you're in ministry, often, you know, we just get so busy, and one of the priorities for us has always been our children. And so we have two sons, they're both married, and two grandkids. And so this trip, we're actually all going on a cruise. And so there's, my mom and dad are here, so there's four generations. And my mom and dad, bless them, you know, and it's like a really hard one sometimes, but my dad, you know, we were walking yesterday, and he goes, well, Sandra, this could be my last vacation. I'm like, oh, you know, like, and it's just like it made me teary-eyed, realizing that as you get older, like, I so honor and love my parents, and so I want to bless you guys, you know, there's a family here. You guys are family, so, you know, honor each other, but honor your family this Christmas season. Because your moms and dads, they all need hugs, and they just need to know that they're loved. So I bless you.
Thank you, Sandra. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're really glad that we're back. We're really glad that we're going on a cruise. But it's a pleasure to hang out with you guys again, even though it's real short. It was May last year, 2014, that we were here. I think that was it as well, because we were heading off on a cruise at that point. So you're a good cruise stop just because you're right in the area there. And there's a Catch Fire Church in Houston, and we did a Sunday morning with them and then went on a cruise out of Houston. We haven't figured out New Orleans yet, so we have to start a church in New Orleans so that we can have a place to go and do all that kind of stuff. And then the European ports, we need to find brand new churches at all those ones. And it's the kind of ministry that I feel really good about. Anyways. I love the theme that you're in this month, Approve It. I really enjoy being assigned talks because it makes me sort of have to, you know, just push in a little bit to the Lord, what's he wanting to say and that kind of stuff. And Carl was asking if I would focus specifically on healing. And I don't know if you figured this out, but most of the healings that Jesus did were not in a place of worship. Yeah. They're outside.
That's good.
They were at homes. They were in marketplaces. They were just like in crowds that there was spontaneous meetings that took place. Yeah. And most of those spontaneous meetings weren't planned by Jesus. Like, he wasn't planning to have a meeting, but when people came and in such large numbers, he goes, okay, here's how we're going to do this. Everyone just take a seat. And he started to teach or he started to minister, and it just happened to be meetings. If you're looking for church meetings, James chapter 5 is probably the best one to go to of how do we heal people in a church context. And in that context, we we're very much involving the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if we're up against where someone didn't get a breakthrough right away, Bible says that we ask for them to have a confession. It's not that they're confessing, but it's the idea that we have a dialogue, and it's like trying to figure out what are the spiritual issues here? What are the reasons maybe why that healing hasn't come yet? But in the ministry of Jesus, he doesn't do too much of that stuff. He just knows that his Father's desire is that everybody, everywhere, all the time be healed. And that's the philosophy that Jesus had. A whole bunch of you, maybe I shouldn't assume this, how many of you are going to be with family over Christmas holidays? Hands up. So that's almost all of you. Any of you going to be having family that are there that are not followers of Jesus? Hands up. Okay, so that's half of you. The freakiest, best, goodest, is that the right word? Best gift that you could probably give to those people that are not followers of Jesus is to take them on a journey towards Jesus. Amen. During your Christmas time. And that can happen in all sorts of different ways. That can happen by you just listening. That's probably the best place to start, is just listen and pick up what's going on. What are the stress points that they're talking about? Because people quickly get into what's wrong, don't they? Yeah. Yep. They start by bragging about everything's good. And once everyone realizes you're lying, then we start talking the truth. And we get into the hard things. And often, the stress point in people's life is their health. And if you're able to just slip in after you've gained the right to sort of smile and, you know, be nice and kind and done all those kind of things, to be able to just slip in that you're a follower of Jesus and could I say a prayer for you? Could I ask Jesus to heal you? Almost everyone's going to say yes. What they don't realize is that little yes is for you. It's a little bit more. It's not just that you're going to, you know, tonight when we go home, we're going to pray for you, but you're going to just stand up right then and say, well, whereabouts is it? Well, it's on my knee. Well, can I touch your knee right now? Can we say a prayer right now? Yeah. And friends, the challenge of doing this is not God. It's not what God wants. The challenge is that you and I come up against our own insecurities, our own lies that sort of we believed that we've received from Satan. Satan is in a little bit of a battle consistently with us to hinder us from having this be our best year. I don't know if you figured that one out. Your best year is the year that you listen to your father and do what he says. And the more you listen to your daddy and do what he says, that just makes every year good. It doesn't mean that it's going to be good always in terms of everything going right. But in the progression of you growing as a follower of Jesus, like the best way you grow is by hitting the wall. I don't know if you figured that one out. One of the reasons why I'm thankful that I'm in the seniors category now, according to Denny's. 55, you're a senior at Denny's. That's pretty good. So now you're going downhill, right? Supposedly you're going downhill if you're a senior. Well, downhill is much easier than running uphill. Is it, I don't know if you figured that one out, but anyways. How many of you have had this little thought? If I initiate a conversation with someone who's not a follower of Jesus and they don't get healed, that's going to embarrass Jesus. How many of you ever had that thought? Okay. How many of you ever had the thought, if you initiate a conversation about healing or about Jesus, actually they're going to be really offended? Hands up. Okay. Actually, if you initiate a conversation about Jesus, if you begin to get into the healing, you are just going to get way over your head, and they're going to ask you a question, and you're going to look like an idiot. Anyone been in there, that category? Okay, did you see how many other people had hands up? This is normal. Do you know why it's normal? Satan's not a real clear thinker. He's only got four or five ideas, and he just shares them with everybody. So the good news, this is true. God's a creator, isn't he? Yeah. Satan doesn't create. Satan copies. He counterfeits. He twists things around. And so the strategy of Satan is to convince you that you're the only person that has ever tried this. And that it's going to be a disaster, therefore don't try it. Or they're going to be offended or whatever the excuse that comes to you. And friends, I'm just here to tell you, because I am becoming an extrovert when it comes to doing Jesus stuff in public. Like, I enjoy this. It's now a hobby. It's like girls scrapbooking. Like, don't waste your time doing that. Like, actually get a good hobby. Sandra had one of those seasons. We still have the closet full of all the stuff that she didn't use. She gave it away. But healing someone in a public place or in a home outside of a church meeting, to me, is just one of the coolest things that you could do. I personally think that Jesus went to bed pretty well every night of the week thinking, well, that was a cool day. I think Jesus woke up the next morning as he's lying on his pillow looking up at the stars. He probably went, Daddy, what are we going to do today? I think Jesus was just so full of hope and expectancy of how he was going to be led by his Father and what he was going to do. Correct? The challenge of being a little bit of an extrovert for Jesus, not talking about you being, like if you're an introvert, because I am an introvert. That's my personality type. I am a hide behind the scenes, let other people like Carl run around the stage. I'm like Tracy, just sit there and go, okay, that's him. Yeah, okay. My personality is quieter, but when it comes to talking about Jesus out there, I've transitioned. I'm past the thoughts because I've realized Satan's only got four or five of them, and I figured out that every single one wasn't true. It just wasn't true. I'm not offending people. In fact, what's happening is people are saying, no one has ever cared for me ever before. No one's ever come up to me seeing that I've got a health problem and prayed for me. And it's just the opposite. Occasionally I get someone who says, no, thank you. No big deal. God bless you. And you just move on. But most people aren't no thank yous. I'm going to say that I'm probably a 39 out of 40, yes, please. 39 out of 40. One person, and it doesn't matter what their faith is, Buddhist, Muslim, Jew. Now, when I get to the little prayer that I'm going to teach you that I taught you the last time I was here as well, when I say the word Jesus in the prayer that I'm going to have them say, sometimes they just sort of, you know, step back. And with Muslims, I just say, are you fine if we say the word Allah? And they go, okay. But when they're healed, they know it wasn't Allah, it was Jesus. If they're Jewish and I say, are you all right with Jehovah? Yes. Well, they still know that I was thinking Jesus, correct? So it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. So here's the big principle that I want to share with you today. Jesus had all the insecurities, all the stuff that you and I go through when he was representing his Father. Even though the Bible says he is 100% God, the Bible is very clear. I'm going to say 40 different passages that say that Jesus ministered completely in his humanity rather than his divinity when he was walking around planet Earth. The biggest proof, if you didn't know that, is in Philippians chapter 2. Not going to look at that passage, but it says that Jesus was fully God. It was his right to function and call down angels and just say, you know, earthquakes here and all that kind of stuff, but he chose not to do any of that stuff. The Bible says he emptied himself. He put all of his miracle powers into storage. And so instead of being Superman, he was Clark Kent. So Clark Kent was Superman, right? He just wasn't wearing the costume. And Jesus was the Son of God, but wasn't wearing the costume, if I can say it like that. That's as simple as it gets. And so Jesus now, the Bible says, is tempted every single way that you and I are. All the insecurities that you and I have, he had to overcome those as well. I don't know if you thought about that. Satan was always on his case. always on his case. Did any of you see the Mel Gibson Passion of the Christ? There's a couple freaky parts in there where there was an actor who was a lady that was playing Satan. I don't know if you remember that personality, just shaved head, shaved eyebrows, and just an eerie person that occasionally appeared in the crowds. And it's just this demon present. And especially right before the cross, that spirit, Satan, was right there, trying to get Jesus to make all the worst decisions. Yeah? And so here Jesus overcame those kind of things. And so what I'd like to do today is to look at one of the stories of how Jesus did healing outside of a church building. So turn to John chapter 5, and we're going to have the scriptures on the PowerPoints for you to read along. I'm using the NIV translation, as Carl talks about it, the new nearly inspired translation, according to Carl. There's lots of different translations. I could show off and read from the Greek and Hebrew today, other than I don't know the Greek and the Hebrew. I went to Bible school and for 4 years did Greek and for 2 years did Hebrew. I was going to go two, get my fingers right. So I learned that there's those languages, but I really can't read from those languages. Have we got John chapter 5, verse 1 up on the screen, and we'll start to go. Which screen are we having it on? This one. Yay, there we are. Okay, so let's read this together. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. There's seven of those festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. If you go into Jerusalem, anyone been to Jerusalem? Yay! You need to come with Sandra and I in February, and we're going to do an 8-day tour of Israel. And it's like a cruise, except you're walking. Okay. Well, you're in a bus, and then you walk around the places. And this is neat, because you go through this sheep gate, which is still there today, the ancient sheep gate. You go in, I'm going to say, from the back of the stage, maybe twice as far as the back of the room here. You go down this cobblestone area, you turn right, and you walk into this open area, and there's a beautiful Catholic church that's built on this spot to remember the miracles of this spot. And there's this artifacts, the excavations of where these pools are. Jerusalem today is about 30 feet up from where it was in Jesus' time. As the city's destroyed, they just sort of build on top and build on top and build on top. And so that's what they're doing in your areas here. They just, you know, they keep building up and it just slowly gets higher. Anyways, that area is right there. And when Jesus walks in, the Bible is going to tell us that this is a meeting place. It's a place where God has had history of showing up with people. So I'm good with beverages, guys, here. It says in verse 3, here a great number of disabled people used to lie. What's the great number? Like, are we talking in the 20s or 40s, 50s? Three digits? I'm thinking that we're into, you know, 100 plus. I have no clue. But a great number is not like three, correct? And it's disabled people, blind, lame, paralyzed. These are the desperate. These are the people who there is no welfare for, no social services, no Obamacare. There's nothing for these people other than family and alms for the poor. These people, if they don't get their healing, they can't ever have a successful life, a career. And for the most part, if they're men, they're never going to get married. If they're ladies, they're never going to get married. They're useless, if I can say it, in their society. They need to be cared for as opposed to contributing. And if you're blind, if you're lame, if you are paralyzed, you don't have a good chance. Because for centuries, those people have had problems. In fact, if you're blind, up until Jesus showed up, no one in the history of the planet had ever been healed of blindness. So if the earth was 4,000, 6,000 years old, going back to Adam, nobody had ever been healed of blindness. So that's not good, is it?
No.
If you're lame, well, that's been healed from time to time, but it's not popular. It doesn't happen a lot. If you're paralyzed, it doesn't happen a lot. Even today, you can get healed of those things, but it doesn't happen a lot. So Jesus shows up. Verse 5. Now, in most, verse 4 isn't in my Bible. It's not in a lot of the Bibles. It seems to be added in. But the tradition clearly is there that people believe that angels were stirring the water. And if an angel stirred the water and you're one of the first people into the water, you're going to get your healing. That's the reason why people are there. And that's alluded to later on in the passage. So even though verse 4 probably wasn't in the original scriptures, it's alluded to. So verse 5 says, one of the guys who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Who's younger than 38? Hands up. All right, that's most of you. So a guy older than you has been paralyzed for 38 years. We don't know if he was 5 when he got paralyzed or has been paralyzed all his life, but this guy's got a problem. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Now, friends, let's just look at verse 6 here for just a quick little session. When Jesus saw him lying there, what does that imply? Saw him. How many people are there, the Bible said? A whole bunch of them, a great number. So somehow Jesus, his attention is drawn to a him, one guy. Would you agree with that? A whole bunch of them. So let's say it's all of us. And Jesus walks into this large area. It's got 5 big posts, that like a tented area, if I can say it like that, a covered area for people who are in the hot sun and just so they don't get sunburned and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so Jesus looks around, and here's a pool in the middle. And the pool would be about half the size of this section right here. Half the size of this. All around are these people. And Jesus walks through the gate, just pauses, looks, and his attention is drawn to one guy. Agreed?
Yeah.
That's what it says. And it says that Jesus learned that he'd been in this condition. How do you learn about someone's condition? You got 2 possibilities here. Someone say one of them. You ask someone. It's not hard to ask, especially if there's someone standing right beside you. Hey, tell me about that guy right over there. How long's he been here? 25. He's been here longer than me. Turns out 38 years. Well, what's his problem? Yeah, he had a stroke. He's paralyzed. Okay. So that's one area, isn't it? Is just simply asking people, what's wrong? I found that that's probably very easy. And when I see people who are in public places that are limping, have a problem, I just walk up and I just say to them, see, you've got a problem here. What happened? Nobody takes offense at that. I've never had anyone yell at me and scream at me and say, like, how dare you? Not at all. Most people just walk by and never care. Yeah? I was in Brazil. I was with Kevin and Chris, in Ecuador last week, a week and a half ago. And before that, I was for 4 days in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in a city called Baru. And we were, there's a group of us, people looking, doing a Father Loves You conference, all staying at the same hotel. Not a fancy hotel, not by your standards, like let's go down, way down in terms of the standards. But anyways, that's where we were. And they sent drivers from the host church to pick us up, and they were prompt guys. They were like, Carl shows up a half an hour early. So anyways, I'm generally an early person, and I saw the drivers were there, so I just went down, and I don't speak Portuguese. They don't speak English, so I just went and stood between the 2 guys, the 2 drivers, leaned on the car like they were, and just going, hey, guys, you know, and they go, hey, you know, and that was it. That was our conversation. So we're waiting for everyone else to come, and I'm seeing coming down the street 3 generations. It's a grandma, it's a mom, and it's a little boy. I was guessing 4 or 5 years of age because Sandra said I've got a grandson that's 4 and a half. And this little kid's in a stroller, and he's got a cast on both legs.
Wow.
And as soon as I saw this little kid, I'm thinking, Jesus. I'm thinking, I may be able to help. I'm thinking, the reason I'm down here early is to catch these people. I'm not thinking I'm going to offend. I'm not thinking I don't know what to do. I'm thinking I'm in the right place. That was my first thought. Really was my first thought. I think I can help these people. The problem is I don't speak Portuguese, and it's two moms. It's a mom and a grandma, and I probably should have a lady with me if I'm going to engage in a conversation. I don't know what their cultural backgrounds are, but I'm just going to be safe. So I look in the hotel, and the hotel's from here to the curtain, back there, the blue curtain, and I was thinking, okay, I can get in and out real quick. And they're in the lobby. They're having coffee and, you know, just waiting for everyone by the elevator to come down. And I ran in and I said, Anderson, who's the pastor of Catch the Fire Novo Hamburgo, our Catch the Fire Church, Partners in the Harvest Church in South Brazil. Anderson, I need you. Kathy. And Kathy Harris is the leader of the School of Ministry, her and her husband, Gordon, Toronto. Kathy was there. I said, Kathy, I need you guys right now. There's a little boy, 5-year-old boy in the street. He's got two broken legs. Come on. So they come with me. And we come out of the hotel just as they're going by. Now, we find out afterwards, just by talking to them, they're staying in that hotel. So, okay. But this is my first time to meet them. And I just began, even though I don't speak the language, I know I got a translator right here. Kathy's right there. Kathy's smiling away, which is what you're supposed to do when you're the other party. Just be like Corey was. Be like, what's your name? Lisa? Leah? Be like Lydia was, just standing there smiling while Tracy's talking. Just smile. Didn't you feel nice seeing her smile? Didn't it seem good when Corey's smiling up there? Yep. So smiling is a big deal. Anyways. So I just said, what happened to your son? And they begin to tell the story. He has been born with some muscular problems, and they live away. And for a month, they're staying at this hotel. And 2 weeks prior, he's had surgery in both of his legs to try to fix it so that he can walk, because he's not being able to walk. So he's muscular problems. So it's not broken legs, it's problems, other kind of stuff. Well, I don't know that until I find out. And then I say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Can I pray for your son? Yes. Well, it turns out that they're followers of Jesus as well. Hallelujah. So that just made it easier. But for them, this was, and then they find out, like, who are you guys, and what are you staying here, and find out we're pastors, and we're speaking at a conference. And for them, that just escalated that God is on their timetable, and for them. Yep. So we pray, and doesn't seem like anything happens. In fact, we didn't ask the little kid to try to walk. We just prayed, and our drivers are, you know, got to go, and so we went. Next day, I saw them at breakfast. They're smiling and waving. Do you know why they're smiling and waving? The little boy's walking. It was like, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. Woo-hoo! Do you know, there was maybe 20 people in the hotel breakfast area. This is like a buffet, serve yourself breakfast. And I'm there by myself having my coffee. Mom, grandma, little kid, a couple other tables of people. It wasn't even 20, 12 people. And Anderson and his brother Hobson come in, and they sit down at my table, and right away they go, Steve, look who's at that table over there. And it turns out he's a very famous soccer player, Brazilian football player, and he played, his best years were on their team, like their favorite team, their local team. And so he's right there, and this has got, like, he's maybe 40 years of age now, and they recognize him, and he's right there. And so they're we got to go and get his autograph, we got to get a picture with him, we got to, you know, all these kind of things. And the extrovert Hobson is like, we got to do this. The introvert Anderson is like, his head down, don't. Like, we don't interrupt people. We don't, you know, do all that kind of stuff. Anyways, bottom line is Hobson doesn't care about that. And when the guy goes for a second course of cake, they have cake at breakfast. God bless the Brazilians. Like, we're talking chocolate cake with frosting, the whole bit. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, that's why they have those nice tans. I'm just telling you. Anyways, bottom line is that I got my picture taken with this guy, put it on Facebook, and da-da-da-da-da. Well, this mom, when she's waving at me and pointing at me, then other people who come in that are staying at the hotel that know I'm a pastor, know that I'm the speaker, they're asking for my picture. Guess whose picture was taken more than this football player? My picture. So the next morning, I can see him. He's pointing at me. Who's that? Who's that guy? He's a healer. That's who he is. Amen. It was just so fun. I love this stuff. So Hobson got his picture. Yeah, Hobson and I are in the picture. Anderson's nowhere to be seen in the picture. He was just at his table. Don't do that. My point is this. My first thought, I'm past, for the most part, the thoughts of this isn't going to go well. Yeah. I'm past those thoughts because I realize that Satan's a liar. Amen. That those are tricks to get me to do nothing. I have learned that the Bible says that if two people agree, what does God say about it? It's done. Yeah. Isn't that in the Bible? Yeah. Two people agree, it's done. So if God gives me the thought, oh, look, there's a little kid, oh, Steve. And then Satan says, Steve, really? Really? You don't speak Portuguese? Really? Well, that's my second witness right there.
Come on.
The witness doesn't have to be for you, does it? The witness can be against you. But if Satan is commenting in a negative way, you're in. Like He knows a little bit more than I do. He doesn't know all of God's plans. He's just trying to disrupt God's plans. And Satan knows enough about God's plans to know that if God's whispering for you to get involved, God's got an agenda.
Amen.
And we just need to align ourselves to that, correct?
Yeah.
Back to the story. So Jesus asks, the second way that Jesus may have known was if he'd had revelation, a thought, a dream. It's possible the night before, as Jesus was in someone's house or wherever he was staying, that he had a dream and he woke up and he saw himself in this dream at the pool ministering to a particular guy. So it's possible that he'd had that kind of revelation at some point, a week earlier, a month earlier. Next time you're in Jerusalem, go to that pool. And so he walks through the gate and goes in and he starts looking around. Oh, there he is. That's the guy from the dream. That's possible as well. Correct?
Yeah.
So he either finds out the stuff by asking or by revelation. Can you and I ask about people?
Yeah.
Easy. Can you and I get revelation?
Yeah.
Sure. Now, you can't sort of ask for revelation. Like, you can ask, but God's not obliged to give you insight for every single person.
Right.
So that stuff doesn't always happen, and we're going to go in a minute to another passage, and I need to run real quick. Not run. I need to talk and get through the stuff quickly. Verse 5. So one who'd been there, an invalid for 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? He's basically saying, can I get involved? It's just a nice little entry point for a discussion because everyone there wants to get well. This isn't a rhetorical question. This is everyone is going to answer yes question, because they're there to be healed.
Yeah.
That's why they're there.
Yeah.
So Jesus starts with friendly, first question, easy question to answer. Yeah? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred by these angels. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else gets down before me. Here's a little hint. This guy's lost his hope. Where should a paralyzed guy be seated? Right at the edge. He should be two legs over the edge, and so when the water's stirred, it's just a tip.
Yeah.
As opposed to now, he needs help to get there. So who's going to help him? The blind aren't going to help him. Blind are distinct disadvantage of ripples.
Yeah.
unless they got really good hearing, which, you know, usually God does that for a blind person. Their hearing is better. So maybe they're hearing. Maybe they're seeing angels. I don't know how it's happening, but blind people are getting healed here. Lame people are getting healed. Paralyzed people are getting healed. That's the tradition. But this guy's been there for 38 years, and he's lost hope, so he's leaning up by the wall now instead of right here, correct? Which is another good reason for Jesus to say, like, do you really want to get healed? Well, yeah. And so here's my problem. So he tells Jesus the problem. Jesus doesn't really care about the problem because he knows what God's will is. And Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. That's a command, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
That's how Jesus stated his prayers as commands. They weren't, please, God, come and do something. It wasn't like that at all. When you ask God, please, I think you're into doubt. I think it's like we just do like Jesus and say what we know God would want to do is what Jesus did. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once, the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. That would be spectacular. That is a, oh, my goodness, can we get the phones out quick and videotape this? Sandra and I had the opportunity of going to Fiji in August of this year. Someone had to volunteer to do one of our one-week schools. Where did you go in yours?
Nicaragua.
It could have been Fiji.
Yeah.
Anyways, we were in Fiji. Ecuador was nice. We went to the spa. We had the blue mud, the red mud. Yeah. I had to buy a new swimming suit because my white swimming suit is still brown from the red mud. Anyways, they want us to do a little healing clinic before the school starts in Fiji.
Yeah,
yeah. It was nice. And I had this revelation on the Saturday morning. Let's do a healing meeting, and all of you that we've been training, because we've been practicing on each other and people are getting healed, let's invite people to come, and we'll just do a pretend meeting with the whole purpose of you ministering to them. So phone your friends during lunch, get them to come. So people are waiting. It's announced for 2 o'clock. That's Fiji time, which means 3 o'clock we'll think about starting. And so 3 o'clock we start, have a short little worship, 15 minutes. I did like a 10-15 minute talk, and then we're into ministering. And almost everyone invited a friend, and so they're praying for their friend. One of the guys who shows up, and we had to sort of just wait an extra 5 minutes before we started because this guy's in a wheelchair getting out of a vehicle and needs some of the guys to go and help him and get out and all this kind of stuff. Turns out, 4 years ago to the day that he's in the meeting, he was told by his doctor that his diabetes was so severe that he will be dead within 4 years. And so he's on his death day. 4 years to the day. You'll be dead by 4 years. And that's the day. He is completely, I wouldn't say paralyzed, but unable to use his legs because of diabetes. Sugar diabetes is the issue in Fiji. They add way too much sugar to everything. Like it's, I'm going to say, 10 teaspoons of sugar for every espresso. Like it's basically have coffee with my sugar as opposed to sugar with my coffee. Anyways, diabetes is the disease, and he's got it bad, and that's why he's going to die. His legs don't work. Often people have to have legs amputated because it starts bottom and slowly goes up and kills you. Anyways, he's sitting in a wheelchair. I'm going to say 60 years of age, and he's on his death day. And the friend who invited him was his pastor, and the pastor prays for him, and he just stood up. Like it wasn't even I can feel in this leg. It was just, he just pushed himself up and stood. Well, I didn't have my iPhone out for that. But 2 minutes later, it's like, sir, sit back down and we're going to reenact this. And he was able to push himself up and stood again. And so I got a little video of that, showed it to our church family. And it was amazing. But friends, when Jesus goes in, there's no meeting. It's just one guy, one conversation, one guy. There's probably all sorts of little conversations going on. And Jesus heals this guy, and it's a miracle, and it's a big one. So let me just read the scripture without talking for a second here. Verse 9, at once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and he walked, and the day in which this took place was the Sabbath. You know what that means? That means they do no work day. Carrying a mat is considered work. So when Jesus says, get up and carry your mat, go home, Jesus is an accessory to a crime here. So the Jewish leaders said to this man who'd been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you from carrying your mat. They don't know that he's been healed. He's walked out of the gate, and he's walked through into the public area, out of this secluded area, into the public street, and the Jewish leaders are there, because they're always by the gates to be seen, and they see this guy carrying his mat going home, and they're going, hey, it's the Sabbath, what's going on here? And he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. And they asked him, who is this fellow that told you to pick it up and walk? The man who'd been healed had no idea who it was. He's not been to a Holy Spirit meeting yet. He's not met Jesus before, not seen posters. Doesn't know that it's Jesus. No clue. It says, and Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus finds this guy at the temple. So where's he gone after he's been healed? Why is he going to the temple, friends? To worship. Another reason why he's gone to the temple is you can't get into the temple if you're paralyzed, blind, or lame. This is his first chance in 38 years to go and worship God. Because just like the animal sacrifices had to be no blemishes, that's the rules for the people as well. So this is a big deal. His first act is to say, thank you, Jesus. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So Jesus finds him in the temple court, never met this guy before, and where does it pick up? The man went away, where are we? Yeah, Jesus, verse 14, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now, friends, this is another whole topic, but the clear implication is that whatever he had done the first time in a sinful capacity had caused that reaction, that he's paralyzed. And Jesus is not just implying, he's saying, if you go back to your lifestyle, whatever that was, it's going to be worse the next time. Now, I don't know how it gets worse from paralyzed. Yeah. Paralyzed with an itch and you can't reach it? I don't know how that goes. But it's not good, is it? No. What's our time, Carl?
It is. You're good.
We're at 11:45? Okay, I need to go real, real quick. Which story? Which story in the lady in the wheelchair? More specific. There's been way too many ladies in wheelchairs. Get back to me in a minute. Okay. Big finish. Verse 16. So this is the same day, half an hour later. So Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath. The Jewish leaders tried to persecute him. They began to persecute him. The word here is a severe word. Like this is pre-torture days. This is pick on him, bully him, push him, prod him, provoke him, make fun of him, hold stones, thinking you're going to stone him, all those different kind of things. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father's always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. And for this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. What are they trying to do right now? Kill him. Not just persecute him. Now they're into, okay, you're a dead man. And they got sticks out, they got, you know, whatever they got, the stones trying to kill, they're going after him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was calling God his own Father, make himself equal with God. And Jesus gave them this answer. This is his defense. Guys, why are you trying to kill me? You're killing the wrong person. Here's what Jesus said. Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. Do you see that little phrase? Who's this talking? Jesus said, I can't heal anybody by myself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Isn't that amazing? So here's the truth, is that Jesus somehow is drawn into that area, just maybe knowing there's sick people and he just goes to have a look, or maybe he's had a dream, but somehow he finds himself there. Sick people, his attention's drawn to one guy, and as he goes to that guy and ministers to him, what God wants happens, and he's up and he's walking. And when people get ugly with Jesus and start to kill him, his defense is, I didn't heal this guy. This is my father. I just am doing all the, I'm replaying the things that I see. So remember when I talked about Revelation? This is a little hint towards that. That somehow God had given him a picture of this one guy. And so when he finds him, he just knows what God's purpose is. And so friends, this is as easy as it's going to be over the Christmas season. When you're with people, ask questions, find out, ask the Lord to give you dreams, ask the Lord to give you words of knowledge for people ahead of time, and you won't necessarily know who your siblings are inviting for Christmas at your mom's and dad's or grandpa's or wherever you're going to go. Sometimes you arrive and there's people like, who are you? Well, I'm, you know, we've been dating for 3 weeks. Okay, great. I'm Steve. Nice to meet you. It happens, doesn't it? So what's wrong with you showing up to a family meal? What's wrong with you showing up for a company Christmas party armed with pictures? And now you're just looking around. Who's the guy that's going to be wearing the green Santa Claus hat? And there he is. And it's like, all right, here I come. And you're just nice, and you make your way, and you find that, you know, he's at the punch bowl, and you're, you know, you just get over, and you don't like punch, but you're going for punch today because green Santa Claus hat's right there. Hey, what's going on with you? Where'd you get the hat? And you start talking. Hey, I saw you got, like, is it knee problems you got? And then you, if you want to show off, then you go, by the way, do you have third lumbar problems? Yeah, I do. How'd you know that? Well, I'm a follower of Jesus. And you're in.
Amen.
You're in. When you get revelation about people's problem, you are in, friends. They back up thinking that they're in the presence of someone like honored, respected, like important. It happens all the time. I love that feeling of realizing I'm thinking that I'm out of place. Now they're thinking they're out of place. And they're wide open, their spirit's wide open to a miracle taking place.
Yeah.
I was going to go to John chapter 4 and tell you about Jesus talking to that lady at the well. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Do you remember 3 times Jesus tried to get this lady to figure out that living water was talking about him? And each time was, psh, she missed it. She missed it 3 times. Yep. And so do you remember what Jesus does? Guys, you remember this. Jesus says, you know what, can you get your husband? Maybe I can talk to your husband. That's a sexist thing right there, ladies. Is Jesus realized, I'm just not connecting with this lady. How about I talk to your husband? And that's when she says, I don't have a husband. That's the first time that Jesus moves in the spirit. The previous conversation was just Jesus trying to lead her in a conversation, and it wasn't working. But all of a sudden, revelation came in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah.
You've had 5 husbands.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Jesus didn't start with 5 husbands because he didn't know it at the beginning.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow. So a whole bunch of you, you're going to get the insight as you open your mouth.
Yeah.
It'll come to you as you start,
yeah. Yes.
Which is why you start.
Yeah.
How'd you get your broken leg? Well, I was skateboarding. Oh, what kind of skateboard do you got? You got one of those big ones, a small little one? Like, and you just ask dumb questions. Like, I don't know about skateboards, but I know that there's big ones and smaller ones, thick ones, and, you know. And you just start asking questions, and you earn the right to say, hey, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. Can I get you to say a little prayer? A whole bunch of times, if in a public place, I don't use the word prayer, I just say, I'm a follower of Jesus. I have a little saying that I say that gets people healed. Would you like to say it? It takes you 5 seconds. Okay. And here's what I have them say. My healing belongs to me. Say it with me.
My healing belongs to
because
me.
Of what Jesus has done.
Because of what Jesus has done.
I receive my healing. Now.
Yeah.
Inside my head, I count to 3, and it's done. One quick little story, and then we're going to practice.
Wow.
I got invited to go on a TV show, live TV. Well, it's live to tape. It was shown the next day. Hour and a half of TV, edited down to 20 minutes. It is an alternative healing is the topic. And it's like eight people around a round table, everyone having their input on different things. And I am there as the faith healer. That's the title that they've given me, faith healer. Never had that title before, but I'm happy if that's what they believe, yes, that that's what yes, they're going to get. So we got doctors, we got homeopathic, we've got massage people, we got chiropractors, we got all these skilled people, and me. And me. The night before this TV show starting, God gives me talks to me in my dream and says, would you like to heal someone live on TV? Oh, yes, I would. And he says, well, you need to ask. And it's like, well, Jesus, can I heal someone live on TV? Yes, you can. That was it. So now I'm waiting for the opportunity. And almost at the end of the taping time, the host turns the conversation and he goes, can I talk to Steve? And it's like, he talks to me and it gets serious. And then the co-host says, like, could you heal someone right now? Yes, I could.
Come on.
And live on TV, the host got healed, and it was so amazing. She screamed.
Hallelujah.
Screamed. Yes, Sandra? Sandra was there. Sandra was praying the whole time, sitting in the stands watching this. God loves to do this kind of stuff. You get to prove it. You and I get to try this and see if it works. Yep? So, who's got pain in their body right now? Can I get you to stand up? If you have any kind of complication, challenge, can I get you to stand up wherever you are? If you're battling some kind of sickness or disease that doesn't have pain symptoms, but it's real, like say if you have diabetes, maybe you're not in pain, but you've got a disease that's been labeled in your life. Carl, this is a healthy church if there's only this many people standing up. They may be lying, he said. Okay. All righty. Those of you seated, there's enough for like three people with everyone standing. So can I just get you to jump into your chair, go find one of these people who's standing up? Don't do anything yet. Just go stand beside them. Put your hand up if you're one of these people so we can see where you are. Okay, people. If you put your hand up, once two people get there, put your hand down. Keep your hand up until there's at least two people. And if you're behind the person, say, hey, we're back here. Okay, so we need one more guy in the middle here. Is there another guy can come over here for this good-looking guy with the sunglasses? There we are. And is there one more lady right over here that can come for this gal over here? If there's like 20 people with one person, you can... Okay, we're good enough. All righty, those of you who put your hand up, stood up and put your hand up, take 10 seconds, tell the person where's the pain, where's the sickness. By the way, if you need to leave, you go ahead. We're just going to take another 10 minutes here and practice. But if you have family things you need to go to, God bless you. All righty. Ask if it's appropriate for you to put your hand on that very spot. And if they say yes, before you, those of you ministering, take a look at your hand. Can you see the Holy Spirit on your hand? Most of us, the answer is no, it looks like my hand. But on top of our skin is the Holy Spirit. Yeah? We're carriers of the Holy Spirit. So when we put our, what we think is unanointed hand on their body, oh my goodness, God just begins to show up. So those of you ministering, say this to your friend. Your healing belongs to you. Because of what Jesus has done. Receive your healing now. Now, our job's done, so we just stay quiet for a few seconds here. We don't need to pray in tongues. We don't need to do anything. We can, but that just messes it up. We let God do his part. Remember, Jesus said, I can do nothing. Everything's based on revelation here. I do what I see, and Jesus did what he saw. Jesus also said, I do what I hear, And he also said, I do what I know. Sometimes his spirit just knew stuff. Now, those of you with your friend, say, more healing comes right now. Right now. And hopefully you've got your eyes open so you can see what's going on and see God's presence on their body. You may see some tears. You may see the body begin just to be the peace of God come, and all of a sudden they're relaxing. You may see some power going into their body, and their body begins to convert a little bit, like as if you put your finger in an electrical socket. Father, we welcome you to come and heal these bodies, cleanse these bodies. All sickness and disease goes in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, ask your friend to check themselves and see how much better they're doing. Get him to check, bend, see if there's lumps and bumps. Get a little checkup. Alrighty, look at me, everyone. How many of you that put your hand up, that stood up, are feeling a little bit better or a lot better? Hands up. Nice and hot. Look at this, friends. This is pretty cool. That's like almost all of you that put your hands up. Okay, if you just raised your hand up to the front, 10 seconds to tell people what went better. Okay, if you just put your hand up, say you're better, up here, 10 seconds. Carl, are you able to move this quickly?
I can move whatever you'd like.
You interview them.
I will interview. Do you want a microphone also here? Hallelujah. Quickly. All right, first go ahead, Andres. What's going on?
I woke up with a sore throat, and while they were praying, it felt much better.
Come on, give glory to God. Andres is going to help me out with the next one.
What happened?
Tell him what happened.
I had a lot of stomach issues, lower stomach mostly in the middle, and back pain. And from the moment they said, receive your healing, it was just this warmth and like a lift, and it was just... Oh, amazing.
Amen. And we say more. Come on, glory to God.
Stomach issues, and then I got prayer, and I just had a vision. Well, I felt it, but I also had a vision of power just going through my intestines, like and then into, and then a second vision through my mouth, and it went into like my esophagus all the way to my stomach.
Praise
and I
God.
I felt it.
Your stomach feels better now?
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm going to try it.
Heal, well, go try away. I believe it's healed.
I've had back, lower and middle back pains for months now. And as I was sitting in my seat before he asked, you know, people raise their hands, stand up for healing, my back felt very tight and tense. But once I received my healing, it's
Hallelujah.
Much better and looser now.
Hallelujah. Come on. Heal my back too. So if you have back problems, you're probably being healed right now. If it's not healed yet.
Lord, I had joint pain, and it decreased from like 9 to 2. So thank you, Lord, in my hands.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a big deal. You can live with 2. I mean, you don't want to, but it's hard to live with 9.
It is hard to live with 9.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Very good.
Come on.
So I've just been having...
Say what's up to Vivi, everybody.
I've been having stomach issues for about 2 years now. Doctors said I have an ulcer, but I don't really have the $3,000 or the insurance to kind of
Go
get
ahead.
It checked out. So it's just been consistently bothering me. I've had weight loss and fluctuation issues and lots of nausea, and those of you that are close to me, you guys know that. But now I just felt like this strong presence of God today, and Chelsea didn't even have to touch me. I mean, the second she just said the words, I just felt such like a release, such like a relief off of my body. And just, I saw like doves flying from behind me. And I just feel like so exhilarated. Like, I just want to go touch people.
Okay,
so
that's
God is so good.
We got like 3 stomachs now, right?
Yep.
And visions. Did we do a fair amount of visions? But the stomach, let's I just feel like God's on it then, right? So if you have any stomach problems and they didn't get healed a second ago, even if you didn't stand, I want you to go ahead and stand. And go ahead. If you had any stomach issues, now this is the time like you're like, well, I don't know if I believe. Now's when you want to get in on this. Any stomach issues, digestive issues, you might have reflux, I mean, from one end to the other. One end to the other, right? Any problems from one end to the other. And you're going to go ahead and release that.
Amen.
All right, you're going to do that. So you give that. You're just going to pray very simply the prayer that Pastor Steve just taught you. And if you don't remember it, he'll say it and you'll repeat after him.
Okay. Your healing belongs to you. Yes, Jesus. And believe it now.
No, I'm telling you to believe it.
Oh,
believe it when you see it. Yeah, go ahead. Say it again. Say it again. Your healing, go ahead.
Your healing belongs to you because of what Jesus has done. Receive your healing right now.
Go ahead, receive it. Receive right now. Receive your healing right now. What do you see happening? Keep your eyes closed. What do you see happening?
Just fire.
Give her the mic.
I just see fire and there's just like doves flying. And I don't even know. It just it's really hot and a couple weeks ago I'd seen a windy road. With a big structure at the end, and I was holding Jesus' hand, and I'm walking that road now, and I just see that again, and the birds, I don't know what that means.
You don't have to know. Be healed.
Amen. Jesus.
Good job, Evie. Amen. 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 Woo, I feel it. I don't have any stomach problems. Well, I guess I actually did. I had pain. But I feel heat on it now, so if you feel heat, you may just ask somebody, can you just continue to pray for me? Just somebody... If you still got stomach issues, you're not healed yet, keep your hand up and just somebody just begin to pray over these people. Yeah, put your hand up and get some people around them. Let's just, we're in a healing meeting, right?
Amen.
I mean, we might as well pray for healing while we're here, right? I mean, we're already here. And don't start screaming and stuff and don't shake them and don't start trying to make it happen. Just Jesus does the healing, right? Go ahead.
I've had back problems since middle school and Corey prayed over me. And I felt my back get really warm.
Yeah.
Loosened up a lot. And it's not 100% better.
Let's go for 100%, shall we?
It went
go
ahead, from Andres. A 4 to a 10.
We're going to try again. We're going to go again. Ready? Go ahead, Andres. You do that. You know what you're doing. Use the microphone.
Jesus, we just release your healing, Lord. We just thank you that you're not a God of 99%, Lord. You're a God of 100%. And all the way through, Father God, from the top all the way down, in the name of Jesus.
We just release
that healing right now.
Bend over, check it. Bend over, check your back right now. Yeah. Fire right there. Don't lie for us. If it's still
loose,
there a little bit.
It's still there. It's loose, though. It feels a lot better. And it never feels better.
Hallelujah. Corey, where are you at?
Jesus.
Bend there one more time. Yeah, I just felt it down the left side there. Just.
Look at that.
Wow.
That's a long way down.
It's a long way up.
Still there a little bit, or is it gone? Hey, look for it. Walk around a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to find it now. Go ahead, keep looking around. I mean, if, you know, right there. Wait, go to Corey in a minute, you know, if it's still there, and we'll get the full checkup. I believe. Go ahead.
I'm also having, like, shooting pain in my neck, like, trap area when I was sleeping.
A little stiff neck?
Yeah, I'd wake up, and it would just be, like,
that was
it would
a joke,
be really,
but go ahead.
Really, like, shooting pain. I missed that.
Ha!
Now I got it.
That's
and,
good.
I just, when they were praying for me, I felt like two like fiery hands on my neck, like
go ahead.
Like straightening, like
fire,
like micro straightening. It was
just
really
fiery
wild.
Hands.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Did you release it?
Does it feel good now?
It feels really good now.
Move your head around.
Yeah, it feels really, really, really good
around.
Now.
I bet we can cause it if we try.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, good job, man. Amen.
Sweet.
Any other neck pain problem, people? Any neck people? Anybody stiff neck? We have a special rebuke for that. It starts with whoa. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus. As they pray for me,
yes, sir.
My knee pain went, but then Ali put her hand again on my foot because he was still hurting, and I said, Jesus, the healing belongs to me. And that went, hallelujah. And then my back, I still have a little pain. Although they pray for me and it's better. But it was amazing because my knees were hurting so much when I went to pick up Nikhil. I couldn't even walk from the pain.
Yeah.
So,
amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. Healing, we release it in Jesus' name. Last but not least.
When I get up in the morning, my neck, my whole back, my lower back, I can barely walk. But I feel like 50% better right now.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Give glory to God, everybody. All right. Pastor, he has some more stuff. He's gonna release something else.
How many of you were the ones that prayed for one of the people who just shared? Hands up. That's pretty good, isn't it? Do you know why that happened? Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. Just that's exactly what Jesus was saying. When they're trying to kill him, he's going, hey, guys, this isn't me. Wrong guy here. All I did was just did what my daddy told me to do. So if you want to blame someone, blame my daddy. Have you guys heard of Benny Hinn? I know your pastor has. Yeah. Benny Hinn, probably about 8 or 9 years ago, got sued by a guy who came to his meeting, and he was sued because of health problems. So Benny on the stage went like this, whoosh, and like 18, 20 rows of people fell down. And this guy, when he fell down, hurt himself, like legitimately hurt himself. And so when he went to his doctor said, like, you got medical bills here. Who did this to you? And he goes, well, Benny Hinn. So the guy sued Benny Hinn for medical things. And Benny's smart enough that all of his meetings are videotaped. And so his lawyer shows this in court. And he says, you'll notice that Benny's on the stage. And he says, Holy Spirit, come. And he goes like that. Here's what the judge said, Your Honor, this guy needs to be suing the Holy Spirit, not Benny Hinn. And the judge agreed. The judge agreed. He was, okay, you're off. So this is the good news, friends. Everyone stand up, stand up, stand up. Grab someone's hand. Grab someone's hand. For those of you that are single, this could be a dating opportunity. So just think about where you sit in church. Friends, I want you to figure out how easy this is. Remember, Jesus was just like you. He functioned as a human being, not as God. But God was with him. God was giving him pictures and dreams. Did you see how quick visions came to like 3-4 people that were just sharing? But God's into giving you clues, making it easy for you to know that he's with you, that you're on track. So, Father, help every person in this room to have an opportunity between now and Christmas. Amen. To talk about Jesus, talk about healing, and to do it. To prove that God cares for people. He made them, and he wants them well. Amen. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that there would be a boldness and a confidence that comes. In the Old Testament, there's a phrase that says we're allowed to be as bold as lions. Amen. There's no animal in all the world that's as bold as a lion. It just knows I'm the boss. Even little ones know I'm the boss. They know because they're a lion that they're the king of the jungle. And we just proclaim that you can be bold like a lion, that God's presence just comes on you. Extroverts comes on you to calm you down. Introverts comes on you to get you going. And the Holy Spirit is just there to make Jesus look good. Amen. And then people afterwards say, oh my goodness, that was amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much is what I hear more than anything else. This mom and grandma in Brazil, just ecstatic. Happy that someone cared to just start a conversation. Father, I thank you that you can do that kind of stuff through us. May your anointing come on every person in this room. Confidence of the Holy Spirit. Every person in this room. You are equipped. You are able. And the question is, are you willing?
Yeah.
So if you think you could give this a go, just nod to Jesus. Say, uh-huh. Have your face up a little bit. Tilt your face up. Father, would your face shine on every one of us? I have a theory that a whole bunch of men have been bowing their heads a little bit too much, and God's face has been burning the hair off, and they've got bald spots. But your face is supposed to shine just like your daddy's face shines on us. What that means is favor comes your way.
Amen.
Doors open. Opportunities come your way. So, Daddy, would you see us, see our smile, see our willingness, and use us, Daddy, this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Can you give it up for Pastor Steve, please? Hallelujah. Thank you so much. What a blessing. Now, before anybody goes anywhere, if you could stay where you're at, if I could have the life group leaders come on forward, and if you did not receive your healing yet, it's because you're going to receive it from one of these people. And if you need healing in your body, if you need any, if you need breakthrough, if you need deliverance, or you need to get right with God, today is the day that you decide you're going to get right with God. I want to invite you to come on forward, and they're going to pray for you. And it's still, if you want to sow into this ministry and give an offering, there should be an offering basket in the back, as long as our online giving table. And don't forget, next week, Christmas service. Bring somebody to Christmas service. Amen? Come on, yeah. Come on, let's go have a good time. We love you. We love you. Be blessed this week. Walk in the favor of the Lord. Don't spend money you don't have on Christmas gifts. Be blessed. And can you give a mighty shout to God? We love you, Jesus. Amen. If you love Jesus, stack a chair. Hallelujah.